In some Christian traditions, such as the tradition of revivalism, enormous emphasis is placed upon the conversion experience. This kind of experience is held to be the moment of life when one makes a personal decision for Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the sacred readings tonight echo that kind of call to turn and listen to the Lord. And this kind of conversion is not identified with repentance, but rather a growth to a new integrated stage in life. Now, some people who have gone through this experience write movingly about it. They say the heavens open, the earth begins to tremble, there are tears and laughter and terror and relief, all joined together in what they describe as a kind of almost unbelievable crescendo of the divine presence as it pierces their innermost being. Now, certainly, those kind of experiences do happen, and they are of great spiritual value. But so much of the talk about the conversion experience emphasizes the experience rather than the ongoing, lifelong conversion. And it is indeed the will of God that there is to be, that we be converted, but not necessarily that we feel converted. Being truly converted means more than simply a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It means that from that moment on, there's a whole new way of life ahead of you, a whole new way of not only feeling, but also thinking and acting, doing, praying, a whole new way of seeing ourselves, a whole new way of relating to other people. Conversion, in the sense of today's scripture, means that a person is constantly advancing, little by little, from immaturity to maturity, emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually, in thought, word, and deed. That the entire person, it's holistic, is always in process. All of our lives, we continue to grow. We never stop growing. When we are children, we act like children. There was once a little boy who was visiting his grandmother out in the country. And one morning, he set out on a little solo hike through the woods. And his little route took him past an area surrounded by a board fence. And being a typical little boy, he found a knothole at eye level for him, and he peeped through. And inside, he saw all kinds of people playing badminton. And they had no clothes on. Now, he did not realize that this was a nudist colony. And so, when the little fellow came home, he told his grandmother what he had seen. Now, the poor grandmother tried to appear interested, but not shaken up by the story. And so the grandmother nonchalantly said, "Were the people playing badminton men or women?" And the little grandson said, "I could not tell, Grandmama. None of them had any clothes on." This is how children react. And that's what St. Paul wrote. "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I think like a child, I reason like a child. And when I became a man, I put childish ways aside." Now you remember, before Paul wrote that, he went into great detail in describing his own personal conversion experience, perhaps the most dramatic of all time that has ever been put down in print. You remember how Paul, who had been fanatically persecuting the early Christians, was traveling to the city of Damascus to continue that kind of activity, when all of a sudden he wrote, a light from the sky suddenly flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and at the same time heard a voice say to him, Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? And he asked, Who are you, sir? And the reply was, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city where you will be told what you are to do. Now for Paul, that was indeed a soul-shattering experience. It left him blind for a time. He was not able to eat or drink. And then a disciple of Jesus named Ananias came to Paul, baptized him, and Paul then was filled with the Holy Spirit. He regained his sight. He took nourishment. He became strong. He had experienced conversion as a prelude or as a beginning to a whole new way of life. But the important factor is it was the beginning, an initial experience. And from there on in, he advanced for the rest of his life in a totally new way of thinking and doing. And then he wrote later on that he discovered that there are in the end only three things that last: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. To put aside childish ways, one must not only feel converted, if that even happens, one must convert or radically change, continually grow throughout one's life, so that henceforth, the goal always, the alchemy is that of love. 25 years ago this week, Humphrey Bogart died, but to this very day, his films are still popular. Many of them are considered today as the real classics of the Hollywood Golden Age. And we are told by film buffs that there simply no longer are movies like Casablanca being made any longer. And to this very day, Bogie fans will become teary-eyed over one scene in his 1943 movie, which I saw on my 21st birthday, entitled To Have and Have Not. In that movie, Lauren Bacall made her debut. And even at the premiere, moviegoers recognized one line of dialogue as classic, immortal. If you need anything, Bacall tells Bogie in the film, just whistle. Now later on, Lauren Bacall married Humphrey Bogart in real life. And that line from the movie became the motto of their marriage. If you need anything, just whistle. Now, that line from Lauren Bacall sounds very much like a breezy modern version of the words of Samuel the prophet in today's reading. Samuel the prophet does not pray for any kind of overwhelming experience or sign of the presence of God in his life. Rather, Samuel simply prays for directions. What is it that he's supposed to do? Now, this is what God is constantly doing to us in our lives. The living God speaks to us to this very day in so many different ways. This afternoon, the living Lord speaks to us in the words of Holy Scripture, through the preaching of the good news, and especially through the cries of our brothers and sisters in need. The question is, are we open? Are we listening? We never know in advance how the Lord is going to contact us, because so often it comes to us by way of surprise, in unexpected ways. Perhaps the kind or the sort of surprise that is suggested by the poet Michael Coist in the book he wrote some years ago on prayer. In the prayer poem, the poet begins with the words, Jesus Christ says to all of us, I am not made of plaster, nor of stone, nor of bronze, I am living flesh, throbbing, suffering. I live among people, and they have not recognized me. I am poorly paid. I am unemployed. I live in a slum. I am sick. I sleep under bridges. I am in prison. I am oppressed. I cry out in the night, and I die in solitude. And yet I said to them, whatever you do to my brothers and sisters, however humble, you do it to me always. That's clear. The terrible thing is, they know it, but they don't take it seriously. End of the quote from the prayer poem. What about you? What about us? Have we cast aside our childish ways? Are we constantly growing? Have we matured enough as Christian people to be able to recognize the presence of the risen Jesus in these kind of difficult encounters in life as we come across them? Have we accepted into our minds and hearts and souls the reality that in the end there are faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love? To feel converted or to be converted? That is the question.